says, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you shall find. And of course they do that, and immediately the net is filled with all these big fish. And then they come into shore. Well, Peter jumps out of the boat, and then they come to the shore, and we read at verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And I'll be honest, I haven't figured out what that means yet. I know it means something, because it's just a very strange way to say something. And anytime the Bible says something strangely, there's usually something behind it. So just throwing that out for you. But none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord? Why would you have to dare to ask him if you knew that it was the Lord? Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Thus ends our reading. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father, again, having read your holy, infallible, inspired word, and again, a word of sweetness, a word of power, a word of truth, but yet a word that is hidden from us, except that your Spirit open our eyes. So, Father, be with my mouth and bring together the thoughts of my heart and the meditation of my mind in such a way that it is pleasing to you. And again, Father, we pray, bless each person here, that they would be strengthened, encouraged, lifted up. And for those that do not yet know you, have mercy, O Lord. And turn them, that they might confess Jesus Christ while it is still daytime. All these things we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen. I'm going to read a lot of the sermon because I spent the last 2.5 hours of my afternoon writing it. So I really didn't have time to go over it. So I hope it comes out okay. But in our text this evening, we're finishing up what we started this morning. This morning we saw how Peter needed to be emptied. Emptied of his self-sufficiency, emptied of his own strength, emptied of his own works, in order to be able to do to feed the flock of Christ. Why is Peter's failure so emphasized in our text? And I believe it's because our ability to fulfill our calling begins with this knowledge of our complete inability. And this is a lesson that every child of God has to learn. So Peter's problem in the New Testament, like Jacob's in the Old Testament, represents this universal truth about every child of God. In sin, we all have this dependency, or we all have this tendency to depend on our human wisdom and strength. John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses the example of Peter because it speaks to all of us. Being emptied of our own self-sufficiency is the first precondition of being able to feed the flock of Christ, which is, of course, what gives the child of God their comfort, is that if we are doing God's will, if we are doing the will of our Lord Jesus Christ and feeding the household of God, blessed is that man. Blessed is that person that is doing that. He needs not be afraid that when the Lord comes, the Lord will catch him doing what he's supposed to be doing. We need to be emptied so we can be filled, brothers and sisters. In order to give food to the household of God, we need to be filled with love. But what love do we need to be filled with? In verses 15 through 17, I'm going to read them again. And so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, Feed my sheep. He said to him again, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. So there's a number of things that we want to look at in this interchange between Peter and our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, why is Jesus calling Peter Simon, son of Jonah? And I believe that what the Word of God is revealing to us is that Jesus is reminding Peter of who he was before he became a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you look at all the way back at John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42, we read this. And this is when the disciples are first being gathered. He first found his own brother Simon. And so it's speaking of Andrew. It appears that Andrew and John were actually following John the Baptist. And then John the Baptist says, you know, there goes the Lamb of God. And so they turned and they went and followed him. And so then, from that start, he went and found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. But it's also translated, Cephas is what they call the language of the day. It was Aramaic, somewhat close to the Hebrew language. So Cephas is an Aramaic / Hebrew name. But in the Greek, this word is translated as Peter. So Peter is the Greek translation of Cephas. So Jesus was telling Peter that as a disciple of Christ, Jesus would give him a new name and a new identity. And this is very much like Jacob at the Brook Jabbok when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And at a certain point, the angel gave him another name. And we read this in Genesis 32, verses 26 through 28. He said to him, Let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, What is your name? He said, Jacob. And of course, the name Jacob means deceiver. It means crooked. And Jacob had lived up to that name. And he said, Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. So Simon, the son of Jonah, was Peter's name before Christ. But then Jesus gave him this new name, Peter or Cephas or stone. And there's a message here. Jesus is telling Peter that in his actions and conduct, since his denial of Jesus, Peter has gone backwards. After his failure, the night of Jesus' betrayal, Peter's shame and humiliation was so great. And he doesn't yet fully understand, that the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ take away all this guilt and shame. So in desperation, Peter is trying to erase his own shame and guilt through his own power of his own works, his own wisdom, and his own love. And Jesus is telling him, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You will never be able to erase the shame, the guilt, and the humiliation of your denial through your own works. Simon, the son of Jonah, is all you will ever be in your own power. And brothers and sisters, that is a truth for every one of us. No matter how hard we run, no matter how much we accomplish in the power of our own flesh, we will never be more than broken human beings who desire to be more than we are. However, the good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ, we obtain a new identity. And that identity has everything to do with knowing the love of Jesus Christ, which brings us to the second item or note in this text. We can't see all of them in the English. Some of them are reflected in the English. But there are four different word pairs that are being translated as one in the English, right? There's two different words for love. There's two different words for sheep or lambs, two different words for feed. One is feed and one is shepherd, and it's translated in ours as tend. Two different words for know. Lord, you know all things is one word, and you know that I love you is a different word. So we only have time for one, and it's the most important one. The first of these word prayers is the word for love. In the Greek, there are several different words for love, and I'll just give us three. Eros, or eros, right? That love speaks of the sensual love of the flesh. That's where you get the erotic, etc. You know, it's a love of the flesh. Phileo speaks of a deep, brotherly, or family love. And there are texts where Jesus even uses this word to describe the love between God the Father and God the Son. So it's a very meaningful word for love, phileo is. But then finally we have the word agape. Agape love is the deepest love of all because only agape love speaks of sacrifice, of sacrificial love. This is the word that Jesus used in the most important reference text that we have, I believe, in the book of John. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Four times in that text, Jesus uses the word love. All four times, it's agape. And we'll define this love as the highest form of love because at the center of it, Jesus himself defines it for us. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. So, no matter how the Greeks are using the language, this is how Jesus is defining it and how it's being defined in the Word of God. The agape love, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, is the highest love because it speaks of the sacrifice. It's a love that sacrifices. Even as I have loved you, and how has Jesus loved us? He has sacrificed himself for us. So agape is the highest love. So, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're called to love one another the same way that Jesus loves us. And how much did Jesus love us? In his love, he sacrificed himself for us. So it's defined as the highest love. So, using that information, let's look back at our text. In verse 15, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? More than these, but we're just going to skip the more than these for now. Okay, so do you love me? And that's the word agape. Now listen to this, because this is where it really starts. And Peter answered, you know that I love you. But he doesn't say the word agape. He says the word phileo. So he says, you know that I really have a deep, deep affection for you. This is the word that he says in return. He says, do you love me, agape? He says, I phileo you, right? I love you that way. So in verse 16, Jesus asks again, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me, agape? Peter answers, yea, Lord, you know that I love, phileo, you. In verse 17, Jesus asks a third time, but this time he comes down to Peter's level. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me, phileo? So in other words, he switches from agape to phileo on the third time. So, what's happening? What's happening in this text? There's a type of wrestling match that's going on. Peter is wrestling with the Lord. Look back with me to John 13. You should, if you have your Bibles open, go to John 13 and look at right after, verses 36 through 38, right after he gives the new commandment, right? Because I did 34 and 35. And if you look at 36 through 38, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. In our text, Peter is being honest. He cannot in good conscience say that he loves Jesus sacrificially. Which is why when Jesus says, do you agape me? Peter answers with a truthful, I phileo you. This is the strongest love that I can honestly confess to you. Peter is confessing to Jesus and to all the disciples present, I failed the agape love test. When the time came to lay down my life, I could not do it. Jesus accepts Peter's truth. And the third time he says, do you love me? Phileo me. And Peter answers, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Now check this out. This, I'll be honest, this blew me away because I didn't get how all this fit together until I was working this afternoon. All of a sudden it was just like it was there. Verses 18 and 19, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Brothers and sisters, this is an absolutely stunning word of love and assurance from Jesus to Peter. Jesus is telling Peter that he will die like Jesus died on the cross. We feel like that's bad news, but it's not. To Peter, this is an awesome assurance. Jesus is telling Peter that his last act on this earth will be to give his life for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Peter, you failed when you tried to follow me in your own strength and in your own love. But you will not fail the next time. You will die sacrificially, filled with the agape love that comes from me. Brothers and sisters, we do not have time for much more, but the power of this text is that the love that Jesus loved us with becomes the driving motivation for all that we do. Notice how Jesus pairs these two, this question and this statement. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend or shepherd my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. The driving force or energy to feed and shepherd the sheep of Christ, to give food to the household of God, is this deep, deep knowledge of the greatness of Christ's sacrificial love. The knowledge of Christ's sacrificial love driven deep into our hearts brings forth a desire to obey the command of Christ. Right? The one flows from the other. The knowledge of the love of God in Christ, the knowledge that what Jesus has done for a broken sinner like me, when that explodes in your heart and mind, that becomes the driver of wanting, desiring to please Jesus by doing what he asks us to do. They fit hand in glove, but the one flows out of the other. But it must flow out of the other. It must flow out of the other. Love one another as I have loved you. We have to be emptied of our own human confidence and strength so that we can be filled with this love, this agape love, this sacrificial love. And first we have to know it as being recipients. We're recipients of the sacrificial love of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Spirit of God opens our minds and to be able to see how clearly, that, you know, there's nobody here, brothers and sisters, that's better than Peter. And Peter was so broken by his failure. And what he didn't know at that point, he wasn't supposed to die with Jesus. Jesus was a standalone death in this sense. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus could have fixed his eyes on Peter and said, Peter, you're going to come with me tonight. You and I are going to die. And I believe with all my heart that Peter would have followed him right to that death. But that was not what was supposed to happen. Jesus had to be as a sacrifice himself. It can't be Jesus plus Peter. It's Jesus alone that died on that cross sacrificially for our sins. Peter failed, brothers and sisters, because he was trying to do something that Jesus told him, you're not going to do. You have to go. You have to be scattered. You can't follow me now, but I'm going to come back, and then later you can follow me. But he's like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So he's trying to do it out of his own strength, out of his own power, and that's just never going to work. But if Jesus had said, Peter, I want you, and laid his eyes upon him and said, Peter, follow me all the way to the death, I believe that Peter would have done it. But that was not what was supposed to happen. But Peter is just devastated as a man because he saw himself as a man. He saw himself as being someone strong. He saw himself as being somebody with integrity. He saw himself as being someone with courage and bravery. And when the moment came, he had none of it. He was shattered. And brothers and sisters, we're no different. That human strength, that human pride, that human power, that human courage, it has to be shattered so that we can find our new identity in our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that you love Jesus the way that He loves you? You know because He gives you the power and the desire to share the good news with all those who are hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of God. You know because you have a heart and a desire in the love of Jesus Christ to welcome the stranger. You know, brothers and sisters, because when you see those who are naked, they have no clothing, they have no righteousness, they have nothing, they need to be clothed in Christ, you bring them clothes in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because those who are sick and in need of comfort and encouragement, by the grace of God and the working of the Spirit, you go to. You know, brothers and sisters, because those that are bound in prison, the prisons of their own desires, the prison of their own brokenness, and need to hear how they can be freed by the love of Christ, you are the one who comes, filled with a knowledge of Christ's sacrificial love for you, and you share that with them. Those who faithfully care for the needs of the household of God and the love of Jesus Christ have no need to fear power, have no need to fear what will happen in the heavens and on the earth. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Brothers and sisters, this is our calling. We're called to, by the grace of God, to come to this knowledge of the greatness of God's love for us in Christ, that sacrificial love that He pours out for us. When we stop depending so much on ourselves and we depend on who Jesus is and what He's done, and He fills our hearts with that love, now we are enabled to go and to love others even as Christ has loved us. And brothers and sisters, that's the assurance that the Word of God gives us in Christ. Amen. Father, once again we come before You and we pray. First of all, we thank You. We thank You for opening up this Word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that opens blind eyes and gives us the sight to see. What an amazing and beautiful story. Father, how you in your love and your mercy came to Peter and restored him and then gave him this awesome assurance that the next time he would not fail, but that he would preach and teach and he would go forth filled with the sacrificial love of our Lord Jesus Christ. He would go forth and become, by your grace and the working of your word and spirit, one of the most beloved figures in the early church. A man who is so meek and gentle, known for his meekness, known for his gentleness, known for his love, which was all given to him in Christ alone. Father, we thank you for the comfort and the encouragement that you give to your people. And we pray too that, like Peter, we would be given that grace and that strength and that understanding that through the working of that sacrificial love of our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds, we pray, Lord, that we would be given the grace and the strength not to fail, to not fail to share that love and to live as a sacrifice. Father, bless this congregation, bless all your people wherever they may be. Uphold them, strengthen them. Continue to encourage us so that we might walk in a way that glorifies you, that glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. All these things, Father, we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let's turn to number 375, and we'll sing all the verses 375, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.